Good morning. Good to see each of you here this morning. The passage of scripture that we will be preaching from is the scripture that we read in unison this morning, Matthew 16, verses 13, through 17. This scripture, by the way, is also found in Mark chapter 8, verse 27, and also Luke chapter 9, verse 18. I titled this message, "Who Are You?" And I'm sure that you've had someone ask you, "Who are you?" The thing you would say is, what is your response? Did you say your name? Did you answer the question by saying what you do? Like you might say, I'm a mother, I'm a father, or your occupation, I'm a school teacher, I'm an engineer, a worker. In answering a question like, who are you? A lot of times the answer comes from the heart. It's an instant question that's asked, and it's an instant answer usually comes out, and it's that which is in your heart. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ asked the disciples, he says to them, who do people say that I am? He asked the disciples again, who do you say that I am? This is a question that is being asked us as well. Who do you say the Lord Jesus Christ is? If Jesus were standing before you at this very moment and asking that question, what would you say? Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come to you this morning, we thank and praise you that you give us clarity and understanding of your word. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, you open our eyes and our ears and show us truth. Help this your servant to speak this morning. As you speak through me, help us to hear and see and understand what you have for us. In thy precious name, amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to, first of all, Mark chapter 8, verse 27. And we'll read that passage for the purpose of giving us again a picture of what we're talking about. Mark chapter 8, verse 27. And it's Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, some say Elias, others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man. As we look at this passage and the passage in Matthew chapter 16, if you want to turn back to that, first of all, we see a setting here, and the setting is this. Jesus was almost 2 years doing the ministry around the Sea of Galilee, and he had proclaimed that he was a Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus had done many great miracles during that period of time. Many of these miracles that Jesus did, I want you to recognize that they were impossible to be done by a mere man, a mere human, especially like raising a person from the dead. Have you ever seen anyone raise someone from the dead? In seeing all this and being around what Jesus was doing, and hearing the teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ did, the people still did not want to know who Jesus Christ was. He demonstrated to them who he was. But they refused him. They rejected him. They really didn't want him. Do you think this is something like today? Is it possible this is the same thing that's going on today? I think it is. Then Jesus went into the Galilee area, north of the Sea of Galilee, went to Caesarea Philippi with his disciples, and he went there to teach them what things were going to happen to him in the future and prepare them for the future. By the way, Caesarea Philippi for this day, if you heard on the news or whatever about the Golan Heights, it's in that area. And so it was in the same area that Jesus says, "Who am I? Who am I to you?" It was also, by the way, in this same area, you'll read further in the scriptures, where the Lord Jesus Christ took Peter, James, and John up to a high mountain and showed them who he really was and showed him his glory. Right before their eyes. You'd think when they saw what they saw, Peter, James, and John, you'd think that they were completely changed. And yet the truth is, they still struggled with belief until his death, burial, and resurrection. You wonder why people today struggle so much about who is Jesus Christ. First of all, ask yourself this. Those who really know Jesus Christ, those who are the bride of Christ, do they really present Jesus Christ for who he really is? What does the world see? Jesus asked a question to the disciples about what do the people think as to who I am, the disciples said the people were saying Jesus was a good man. Jesus was a great man. God was using him. God was doing a great work through him. Well, look, for example, maybe it was John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the great prophets. Maybe one of them come back to life and God was working through them. This answer is very deficient on who really the Lord Jesus Christ is. It lowers the Lord Jesus Christ to a mere man. Most of the religious people today, most of the unsaved today, lower who Jesus Christ really is to a mere man. They do not want to recognize him as God. In fact, no man could ever do on this earth what Jesus Christ did, because we are born in sin. And no person born in sin can do what Jesus Christ, who is God, without sin can do. And if you're looking for the scripture on that, it's 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that he would make us his righteousness. John 14:10, it says, Jesus says, "I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the work." No one on earth can say that. No man on earth, no human being on earth can say that but the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the disciples, "Who do you think I am?" Peter, being the spokesperson who usually speaks up for the disciples, gave the answer. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Greek words here actually are saying this: you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. You are the living God. Do we see the Lord Jesus Christ as that? The Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son, the only begotten, the unique Son, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus was even named Son of God by God when he was born of Mary in the flesh. In Luke 1:35, it says, "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overflow of thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Jesus was the only begotten Son of God brought forth through God. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We need to recognize and understand that Jesus was always God's Son, even before anything was ever created. Jesus was God's Son. In John 17:5, it says, "O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." God the Father did everything through the Son. John 5:19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he, the Father, doeth, these also doeth the Son." The Bible speaks of him as well as the living God, that which is life, that which is a God alive. Revelation chapter 1. You want to turn there in your Bibles to that? Revelation chapter 1. I'll get you to move some scripture so we don't fall asleep, right? Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death." Did you notice in that what that verse the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to John when he was speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos? "I am he that liveth and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. I'm the first, I'm the last. I've always been. I always will be, and I died for you." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 is another good scripture to look at. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." Notice it says, he, the living God, is the Savior. Did you grasp that? This is what Peter was saying. Peter made the same statement another time, answering the same question, so to speak. If you turn your Bible to John chapter 6, verse 65, you can see this. John chapter 6, verse 65. I'll go to 64. "There are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said," verse 65, "therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him by my Father." You can't even come to Jesus Christ without the Father bringing you to him. Notice what took place at that time. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away also? Then Simon Peter says to the Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do you say that I am? Jesus responded to Peter's answer back in Matthew 16, if you want to turn there. Jesus' response to Peter's answer is this: blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. You are blessed to answer this question and to give this answer. But I want you to understand something. No flesh and blood can reveal this to you. No person, no human being can reveal this person to you. It is only by the Father which is in heaven. You have to first of all recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and always was and always will be the Son of God. In looking at this passage of Scripture and seeing what was taking place in this passage of Scripture, I would like us to do something, and that is this. Picture the Lord Jesus Christ standing before you and saying, who do you say that I am? There are many people in the world that have many different opinions. And the greater majority of people will claim that they actually know something about Jesus. And if you don't think that is true, I'll tell you, when the Twin Towers went down, everybody under the sun got to thinking about one thing. Is this the end? Is Jesus coming? You tell me the world does not know something about Jesus? They do. But isn't it something when you think about this that many of the people use Jesus as an explicit, explanative, I mean. They use him as a vulgar word. And you hear it all the time. Why do they do that? Because the Bible clearly tells us the devil is a liar, he's a murderer. There is no truth in him, no truth in him. Everything he says, it says in Scripture, is a lie. And so people who are unsaved, who are being directed by the devil, are being pushed into doing that which is a lie and making a mockery of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Some people think that the Bible has a good story about a good man. It's a lot of good history and a good story about Jesus in the Bible, they think. And then there are those people who read these history and story and they think, well, I should live like that. There are many religions out there who speak about Jesus. For example, Islam says, they actually know him as Isa. ISA. He's deeply revered as one of the greatest prophets and messengers of God. He's called the Messiah, the Word of God, a miracle worker. Islam strictly rejects the concept that Jesus is divine, that he's God, the Son of God, or part of the Trinity. They reject that. Muslims also believe that Jesus did not die on a cross. That was a made-up Christian story, but was taken up directly to God. Judaism, what does Judaism believe? They believe Jesus as a historical figure, a first century Jewish teacher who lived and died without being resurrected. He is not accepted as a Jewish Messiah, nor is he viewed as a divine prophet. Early Jewish texts like the Talmud often portray Jesus in a critical light as a false teacher. There are those modern Jewish scholars today and theologians that recognize him as a fellow Jewish reformer, a wise, moral, good teacher. Hinduism has no single universally established doctrine on the views of Jesus. The New Age movement, for example. Nothing could be more diverse than the New Age movement when related to the identity of Jesus. Perhaps most striking, however, is the pluralism and relativism existing within the movement. Any attempt to identify Jesus as the singular God of the universe is rejected. Many New Age believers are willing to consider the teachings of Jesus. However, the childhood of Jesus is often described as something that we all should have attained. In this sense, Jesus is seen as a mere man who completed a process of spiritual evolution over successive generations of reincarnation, becoming an enlightened master. You get the picture of what the world sees of Jesus? Think about this. There are many Christians who believe in Jesus. Many of those people who say they believe in Jesus do not have a clear biblical view of who Jesus is. For example, was Jesus always in existence? Was he always the Son of God? There's a great controversy about that today. And yet, go to John chapter 1, and you know the scriptures if you know your word. John chapter 1, and it says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Look at John 8:58. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I existed." Go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. John chapter 17, verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, for they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Another thing that people say, they're believers, they're Christians, they say, but they reject God as their creator. They believe in evolution. My question is this: can you be a believer, saved, on your way to heaven, and believe in evolution? I don't see how. I think it's an impossibility. There are many, many scriptures in the Bible that talk about Creator and Savior together. For example, 1 Corinthians 8:6. There's one God, the Father, of whom all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things were made. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see that what is the fellowship of the mystery from which the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16 says, For by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. How can you say, I believe in evolution, but I'm a Christian? You can't have a savior if you don't have a creator. That's a fact. There's another belief. It says, I believe God is God the Father. I believe Jesus was born of God the Father, God Mary the Mother. So therefore, Jesus is God, a Son of God. Is that true? Where do you find in Scripture where Mary is God? She's not. Mary was a vehicle, a woman on this earth that God used to bring forth his son. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I want you to think about that. Many people get this verse very messed up. One of the things you hear a lot is this: God loves everybody. God loves the sinner but hates the sin. Now, I want to ask you a question. If the Bible clearly teaches that you are born a sinner, how does God separate a sinner and sin? He can't. You're born a sinner in sin. So you say, well, doesn't the Bible say that God loves? It says God loved the world he created. Everything that he created, he loves. How does he love? He loves by demonstration, by action. He gave his son to redeem the world. How did the world get in the situation it's in? Adam, the first man created, disobeyed God, and God cursed the wickedness of Adam, and in Adam all men are made sinners and all men will die. And God had the remedy planned before the world was ever even made, that his son would come to this earth and redeem man from sin and bring the world back to the way it should be through his son. We see God's love in action. God's not falling over himself in love with the sinner. God is giving the sinner, because of his love, that which the sinner needs: a savior, his son. When we understand that concept, then we understand the rest of the verse where it says, whosoever believeth in him. One of the things the world does not like is it doesn't like God setting boundaries. And they don't like boundaries. You look at our world today, they do not want boundaries at all. There's no law and nothing. We do what we want to do. God set a boundary. He said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And it's a fact. You're going to die. But God also set up a condition: whosoever will. If you're willing to believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not perish and you will have everlasting life. This is the things that we see today about who do you say Jesus Christ really is. Many people have an easy believism idea. Oh yes, I'm going to heaven. God loves me. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did God send his Son? And the question then would be this. At the very beginning, we said, who are you? The question would be, who are you? Are you one who is born again, cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can you say, I know Jesus is the Son of God who came in the flesh and died and paid my sin debt? I know that Jesus was resurrected from the grave and now is living, sitting with God the Father at his right hand. I know that one day I will be with the Lord Jesus Christ eternally. Can you say that? That's why the Lord presented that question. Who do you say that I am? I trust you see him for who he really is. The Son of God, the living God, the Creator, the Redeemer. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, may you speak to our hearts. May you help us to see your truths. And may you help us to search our heart and see where we're at today. And may we hear that still small voice, the Spirit of God speaking to us. In thy precious name, amen.